heard that. Who wrote that, brother? Mark? Well, that sounds like something Mark would have. You wrote. God forgive me for lying. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And I've enjoyed myself. I've enjoyed being able to be back here at Fundamental. I love your pastor. I love his family. And I thank the Lord for the good families that make up the church. And I always enjoy getting to see my friend Mike Adams. I love Mike. Not many people do that, but I do. And I thank the Lord for him. And good to see his old football coach here tonight. Good to have you, my brother. Thank you for coming. And I do appreciate the good blessings of the Lord. I thank you for every act of kindness. And I'd been on this diet. I really have. I know you can't tell it, but you didn't have to laugh so hard. But I've been on this diet. I haven't ate popcorn and chips or drunk Coca-Cola in about 3 weeks. But somebody before I got here put 3 little Coca-Colas in that refrigerator and 2 bags of popcorn. And whoever you are, I love you. I was going into the DTs. Dr. David Gibbs and I were preaching together somewhere. We've been all over this country together. But somewhere we was at, and Brother Gibbs, you know, he's real refined. He said, I want to thank you for the wonderful fruit basket that someone placed into my dwelling. It was my favorite kind of fruit basket. It had no fruit in it whatsoever at all. Chocolate. Amen. But I appreciate the goodness of the Lord, and we will be praying for you folks. We're leaving. We're going to be praying for y'all. And but I remember Julie, which was with me. That's my wife. And we were in Pensacola area 3 days before Katrina hit. And so I remember that 16 years ago. And I'll tell you, being with Alex is not much comfort. I'm just going to tell you that right now. He's not my type at all. Say amen. But I do appreciate him driving me this summer. He's been a real blessing to me. And you pray for him. He'll be going back to Bible college next Monday, Tuesday, Lord willing. He goes to Temple Baptist up there at Anderson, Carolina Bible College with Brother Carr and all those. And you pray for him and all them young men that God will help them and train them and they can learn and get fired up for God and just go do what another generation's taught them to do. We don't need less of it. We need more of it. And I appreciate you. And I want you to pray for us. If you're ever coming through Atlanta along with 10 million other people, come on by and look us up. We're in the little historic city of Jonesboro. Been there 37 years at Harvest Baptist. And so just come on in and be with us. And praise God, children, we'll ring it out with a shout. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We're going to begin reading tonight in verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, even as others, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even to them also which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we send to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, here's my text tonight, and with what? The voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And it has been in my heart in the days that I've been with you to preach on the voice, how the world needs to hear our voice. Wednesday night, we looked at the voice of witness, the voice of redemption, how John was the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare, get ready, somebody's a-coming. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's the church lifting our voice to the world. And then last evening we looked at Brother David, the voice of encouragement, the voice of rallying the troops, as he lifted up his voice to encourage the intimidated, the weary, the afraid. There is a cause. And not only tonight do we need to lift our voice to the world, we need to lift our voice to each other. As we are evangelizing the lost, we are to be exhorting the saints of God. But when we come to this text tonight, I hear another voice. And this voice is not the voice of the preacher. This is not the voice of the teacher. This is not the voice of the soul winner. This is not your voice or my voice. It is his voice. And I call it the voice that I'm longing to hear. I'm glad I heard that voice when he called me to salvation. Jesus spoke to me one day, praise his holy name. And aren't you glad one day he called you out of a world of sin unto himself? I have heard that voice many occasions since. As he calls, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I've heard him call my name through prayer, through the preaching of the Word of God, and speak peace to my troubled soul in difficult times. Sometimes I feel like Elijah. I'm weary. I'm worn. I'm fatigued. I'm in the cave. And a ball of fire comes by, and I can't find God. And a whirlwind comes by, and I can't find God. An earthquake shakes me to my soul, and I can't find God. But when the dust is settled, and the smoke clears, there is a calm. I hear him. There's a still small voice that says, I got this one. Aren't you glad you've heard that voice when he calls you to salvation? Aren't you glad you've heard that voice when he calls you to rest and trust, peace in the time of trouble? Well, tonight I am listening for that voice one more time. And it will not be a voice that calls me to salvation. It will not be a voice that calls me to rest and to trust. It will be a voice to call me to say, goodbye, world, goodbye. I'm glad I heard the voice of my mama praying. I'm glad I heard the voice of my daddy preaching. I'm glad I've heard the voice of my friends singing and shouting. But oh, I'm glad one day I'm going to hear the voice of all voices when he shouts with the voice of the archangel. They say that means the word pitcher is a general with his sword drawn and he is leading the charge. It is the shout of command and victory. Can I remind you tonight that Jesus Christ was not a victim of bad circumstances. He is a victor over the cross death, hell, and the grave. And he made you and I a promise because I live, Jesus says, ye too shall live also. Tonight I would encourage you not to be so engrossed and focused on signs. Just keep listening for the shout. I know there are signs, but don't be a sign gazer. Be a shout listener. Because some signs may be confusing. But I promise you, Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice. They know me. And a stranger they will not follow. I'm listening for that shout of Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. I saw a door in heaven open. And I heard a voice say, come up hither. It's like the Shulamite girl in the Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. She said, I hear the voice of my beloved. As he says, arise, my love, my dove, my fair one, and come away. Why? Because the winter is past. And the rain is over and gone. And it's springtime in glory. Do you realize tonight when God saved you, you got on the little end of something big. And I'm glad tonight to tell the church, in spite of the pandemic, in spite of the political upheaval, in spite of all the things around us that are crumbling to the very core, I'm glad we are looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Jesus said, ye now therefore have sorrow in your heart, but I will see you again. Jesus said one night in the upper room before the Lord's Last Supper, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I might. I'll think about it. I reckon I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Aren't you glad tonight, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come? I mean, I struggled today and I thought, Lord, I want to preach the right sermon tonight. And I couldn't get away from this. I thought about preaching on the Holy Spirit, but I couldn't get away from this. I thought about preaching on wives obeying your husband, but I didn't want to be a hypocrite, so I couldn't preach on that. And when I got to church tonight, all the songs were about heaven. All the songs were about the other side and the far side. That's how I'm going to make it through this side. And then my brother just lets me know what a day that'll be. So I believe I'm on the right track tonight. Aren't you glad when you was a sinner, you heard the voice of the soul winner? Aren't you glad when you and I get weary, we hear the voice of exhortation? Have our brothers and sisters in Christ that encourage us to proud on. But I believe if you're like me, the voice that I'm longing to hear is the voice of our Savior, the voice of our beloved, when he shouts with a voice of triumph and the voice of command, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And I just want to say this tonight, I'm glad. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I'm listening for that voice. April the 19th, 1775, in a little village called Concord, Massachusetts, there was a little creek that ran through an open field. There was a little wooden bridge that spanned the gap of that little creek. On one side of that bridge stood some soldiers called the Redcoats. They were sent over here from the King of England to stop the revolution. On the other side of that bridge was some ragtag soldiers. Most of them's uniforms didn't even match the other. They were farmers, merchants, preachers, plain old people like you and I. They were called the colonists, people that God used to carve out this great nation, that you and I have had the privilege to live in. By the way, we kneel at the cross and stand for the flag. Can I get a hallelujah right there? And as those two armies met that day, ever since that dreadful day of 1775, April the 19th, they have argued, they have discussed on who fired the first shot. Some say the colonists did. Some say the Redcoats did. They fussed about who fired the first shot. Well, I don't know. I wasn't there. But if you know your American history, whoever it was that fired that first musket ball off of the banks of Concord Bridge, it has gone down in the annals of history as the shot that was heard around the world. Say that with me. The shot that was heard around the world. Now, if you are an avid, addicted Andy Griffith watcher, you cannot read that story or hear that phrase without seeing Barney as his eyes bulge out of his head when Andy said it was a shot that was heard around the world. And Barney goes, no. And there's old Gomer going, Shazam. But it was. It was a shot that shot off of that bridge and it echoed across the Atlantic Ocean and reverberated off of the walls of the king's palace. A shot that was heard around the world. Well, when we come to this text tonight, something's going to happen. And it's not going to be a shot, but it's going to be a shout. And I promise you, it will be heard around the world. When he shouts for the bride to leave this world of sin and sorrow. Aren't you glad tonight? The children of God were listening for the shout, and it could happen tonight, and it will be heard around the world. Hallelujah! What a shout! In our text tonight, let me give you three things that's going to happen when that voice, when that shout takes place. Look, if you will, at the first part of verse number 16. I see the return of the Savior. Notice how it's worded in verse 16. For the Lord Himself. For the Lord Himself. For the Lord Himself. You say, what's so important about that? Well, that lets me know who's coming. Can I remind you, when God gets ready to come, He's not going to send a fake Jesus. He's not going to send a false Jesus. He's not going to send a fairy tale Jesus. He's not going to send a spokesperson. He is not going to send a fill-in. He is not going to send a stand-in. He is not going to send somebody that represents Him. But the Lord Himself. The Lord Himself. Acts chapter 1 in verse 11. When Jesus ascended on high, there stood by him two men in white apparel. And they looked down and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? For this same Jesus," not another Jesus, not a different Jesus, not a false Jesus, not a stand-in Jesus, not a representative of Jesus, not a figure of Jesus, not a type of Jesus, not a shadow of Jesus, but not a similitude of Jesus, but this same Jesus. Now watch that word same when it's always mentioned about the Lord. The Bible said the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon his name. The Bible said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible said that God hath made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Oh, when God got ready to save the world from the flood, he sent a man by the name of Noah. When God wanted to bring a holy nation out of the heathen nations, he sent a man by the name of Abraham. When God needed a prophet to stand before Ahab and Jezebel, he sent a man by the name of Elijah. When he needed a prophet down in the halls of Babylon, he sent a man by the name of Daniel. When he needed a man to prepare the way for the first advent of his son, he sent a man named John the Baptist. When he needed an apostle to the Gentile, he sent Paul. When he needed an apostle to the Jew, he sent Simon Peter. Oh, but can I tell you tonight, when God gets ready for his bride, when God gets ready for his church, when God gets ready for his children, he is not going to send Noah. He's not going to send Abraham. He's not going to send Elijah. He's not going to send Daniel. He's not going to send John the Baptist. He's not going to send Peter, James, or Paul, but the Lord himself. Not a fake Jesus, not a phony Jesus, not a fairy tale Jesus, not a likeness of Jesus, not a similitude of Jesus, not a representative or a spokesperson or a fill-in, but the Lord himself. The Lord himself. This same Jesus. Do you know who that is? The one that was coexisting with the Father before the foundation of the world. The one that was conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the virgin. The one that was born in a manger and the angels sang at his birth and wept at his death. Hallelujah. The same one that astounded the doctors and the lawyers at the age of 12. The same one that was baptized in Jordan and God said, "That's him." Oh, the same one that healed the sick, fed the hungry, watered the thirsty, befriended the lonely, and raised the dead, and comfort the feeble, and save the lost. The same one that prayed in Gethsemane. The same one that suffered on the place of the pavement. The same one that bore his cross to the top of Mount Calvary. The same one that hung between heaven and earth. The same one that cried in the pathos of his suffering, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But the same one that cried, "It is finished." The same one they wrapped up and put in Joseph's tomb, and the same one that walked out on the other side early one Easter Sunday morning and said, "I'm he that liveth, and I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore." The one that ascended on high, the one that stormed the gates of heaven, the one that put his blood on the mercy seat, the one that sat on the right hand of God, the one that's mediating your case tonight, the one that saved your soul, answered your prayer, met your need. Not another Jesus, not a fake Jesus, not a phony Jesus, but the Lord himself. But the Lord himself. Notice in verse 16, shall descend from heaven. Someone said, "Brother Joe, how do you know you're going to heaven?" I'm following the man that knows the way. You say, "Well, does he know the way?" Well, he came from there. He went back to there. And he's coming back from there. After three trips, he don't even need a GPS. Oh, he shall descend from heaven with a shout, a voice of triumph, a voice of command, the voice of the archangel. And I love the analogy of verse 16. And the trump of God. Honey, he ain't going to be tooting a bazooka. He's going to be blowing a trumpet. Oh, I'm listening for the trumpet sound. I found this out in the Old Testament. That trumpet was used in a threefold manner. Number one, they would blow the trumpet to call the people to worship. Or they would use the trumpet to call the people to warfare. Or they would use the trumpet to call the people to a wedding. Boy, I got to thinking, brother, when he blows the trumpet that we're listening for tonight, you talk about worship. We're going to the greatest worship service that there's ever been. It'll be the first worship service that most of us Baptists have ever been to where there ain't no wet blankets there trying to put out the fire. Son, I got some members, they could sleep through a hurricane. I hear people all the time, and them old-timers, they warned me about it. They said, Joe, you'll go to that church and preach, and you'll leave there on Friday night, and they're smiling, they're hugging your neck, warming your... Hey, man, I think I'll just mention this. Warming your palms with $20 bill. Well, praise God, you have not cause you ask not. And they'll want you to sign their Bible. And you'll travel about 8 hours, sleep a bit on Saturday, and go back to where you pastor. And they'll go, well, he's back. People will say all the time in Michigan and Louisiana and Florida and North Carolina, Brother Joe, how do people sleep on Sunday morning under your preaching? If you'll be at our church one Sunday, I'll show you some people who thank me for my preaching. The only sleep they get is on Sunday morning while I'm preaching. I'm like Barney, it's therapeutic. Can I get a witness? Oh, we're going to a worship service like it's never been before. And it's called holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Verse 2, for thou art worthy. Verse 3, for thou, O Lord, hast redeemed us by thy blood. Verse number 4 is hallelujah. 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 Brother Mays Jackson used to say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord to let my mansion be right beside of the front gate. I said, Brother Mays, that's a little bit egotistical, isn't it? He said, no, here's why. I want to be right there at the front gate. So when all them old dead Baptists walk through and see Jesus and go, whoo, he's going to say, I told you you would. I told you you would. Honey, we're going to a worship service like there's never been. We're listening for that trumpet tonight, but we'll go and worship the King forever and ever. You talk about warfare. Oh, you talk about warfare. This world has never seen a war like it's going to take place when the bride and the church has been lifted out and the man of sin is revealed and the restrainer is removed. Hell will come to this earth, and I'm glad I'm not going to be there. I'll be hid out in the pavilion in the glory world. I've been saved from wrath to come. Oh, but you talk about a worship. You talk about a war. But thank God when this trumpet sounds, we're going to a wedding in the sky, in the chapel of the King. You've never seen a wedding like this one. Now, I've heard it all my life about Snow White, Cinderella, Beauty and the Beast. And I really believe through the years, I've actually performed some weddings with Beauty and the Beast. They may be here tonight. Who knows? They may have sung a while ago. Who knows? And we know who the beauty is, definitely. And I've heard it said all my life. And they live happily ever after. And they live happily ever after. But in the real world, in the real world, on this side, no one lives happily ever after. There is a parting place. But I'm glad on the far side, whoop, on the other side. Can't you just see it now? Going down to Hallelujah Street, when me and Jesus in the front seat of thy glorified chariot and has written in blood on the back, Joe and Jesus, and they live happily ever after. Hallelujah, aren't you glad? There's going to be a waiting in the sky in the chapel of the King. I'm listening for the shout. I'm listening for this voice. I'm longing to hear that voice. Come up hither. Can I remind you tonight, you ain't seen the last of Jesus Christ. He's coming again. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, I will be in that number when he blows that trumpet. When you travel like people like me do, you have to do things to occupy your mind or you'll go crazy. I love congregational music. I love it. I think it's the greatest form of corroborative worship. I love, and I'm not just saying it's because he's here, but that brother over there really does know how to lead congregational singing. I don't know how, but I can recognize it when somebody do. Because I've seen most people that don't know how. Boy, if you could just go with me, you would thank God for the music you got in your church. Some people I preach to, some churches I preach at, they really take that scripture to the nth degree, make a joyful noise. But the only problem, by the time it gets to my head, it ain't nothing joyful about it. But I love the way the different people lead singing. I was in the mountains of Virginia one time, and I saw a man lead it like this. He's milking a big old cow. That's all he did. I was in Ohio one time, and I saw a guy leading it like that. Now that bothered me. That bothered me. Can't you see that, brother? With that big old goatee and that little vest. I tell you what y'all be singing. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. I'm trying to brag on you, brother. I'm trying to brag on you. Well, I was in one of them big old fancy meetings one time, one of them big fancy churches. And I really like the way they do it. They act like they're directing airline traffic. I watched. He actually keeps the time. He actually knows what he's doing. And a lot of these guys, they're just, I don't know what they're doing. Like they're trying to bring in a plane or something. I was in that church and they were singing when the roll is called up yonder. And I mean like a bell of hay, son. He got it higher and higher. I mean, they were tremoloing and cliff flowing and modulating and hootulating and hallucinating all over the place that night. And brother, you help me right here. But I'm sure in the rudiments of music, as you have a high note, you go up. And as you have a low note, you go down. I don't know. That just makes sense to me. This guy with Brother Caleb, he's leading. When the roll is called up yonder, and he's leading with the tips of his fingers, and he done just like this. When the roll is called up yonder, and he done just like this, I'll be there. He pointed down. And I mean, at least if you got to go down on a low note, hold your hand out. But he pointed down. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Son, I jumped up and said, no, no, no. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll not be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I'm going up. Thank God, aren't you glad? When this voice takes place, it will announce the return of the Savior. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming again. Number two, look in the last part of verse 16. When this shout takes place that will be heard around the world, I'll see and know and find and experience the resurrection of the sleeping. What is that? For when this shout takes place and the Savior descends, it says, and the dead in Christ, that means those that died saved, shall rise first. I asked my daddy, why? Why are the dead going to be raised first? He said, son, they got 6 foot further to go than the rest of us. I don't know if that's theological or not, but it satisfied me. I'll tell you why they're going to get up. Because it's promised and guaranteed by our Savior. In fact, did you know tonight that Jesus based his resurrection and your resurrection on the same principle? He said, "If Christ," in fact, Paul told the church at Corinth, if Christ be not risen from the dead, your faith is in vain. Your hope is in vain. And we are of all men most miserable. But I ain't most miserable. I'm not even a little bit miserable. I'm not even leaning to miserable. I'm happy down in my soul tonight. I quoted a while ago Jesus when he got on the Isle of Patmos. Because I live, ye too shall live also. And ladies and gentlemen, just as sure as Jesus got up from the grave, the saints that are sleeping are going to get up out of that grave. It's based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. The Bible said that Jesus, in his resurrection, is the first fruit of them that slept. And I knew, Brother Adams, I'd read that phrase, first fruit. Then I went to study the Levitical law of the first fruit. You know what that was? When the master of the field, on the first day of the harvest, he would go out and pick a sheaf, a handful. And according to the Levitical law, he would bring that sheaf, he would bring that, I'm going somewhere, handful back, and he would use it as a wave offering. And he is saying to the rest of the house, here's a sample. There's more where this came from. A greater harvest is coming. Lord, that'll make a Methodist kick the back end of his choir robe out. Honey, when Jesus marched out of that grave, you know what he was? He was God's sheaf. He was God's handful. He was God's wave offering. Lord, here's a sample. And there's more where this came from. And a greater harvest is coming. I'm glad we will see our loved ones again. Let me tell you a little trip you need to make sometime. Go to Greenville, South Carolina. Find Wade Hampton Boulevard, which is Highway 29. Find Bob Jones University, and on the other side of the street, down about a block, you'll find a large, mammoth, gigantic cemetery. One of the largest in the state. You say, well, what's so big about that? Well, in that one cemetery alone, you'll find the remains of some very famous preachers. As you go in about 100 yards, about 50 yards to the left under a little tree, you'll find the remains of J. Harold Smith, one of the great preachers, had over a million converts, a man of God. If you get back on the main road right before you get to a mausoleum under another tree right on the side of the road, you'll find the grave of Harold B. Seitler, founder of Tabernacle, Greenville, South Carolina. You leave his grave and you go to the center, and there's this big mausoleum. Go in that mausoleum about three rows and about four graves up on the right. You'll see the remains, or there contains the remains of evangelist Oliver B. Green from the Gospel Hour, post office box. You leave that grave, go to the back side, to the new part. And in a double wide, not a single, double wide grave, you'll find the remains of one of my heroes, William Churchfull. You know him as Billy Kelly. You say, Brother Joe, why is he in a double wide grave? Because he wouldn't fit in a single wide grave. He weighed 420 when he died. I said, Brother Billy, how'd you get so big? He said, glory to God, I like to eat. I said, what do you like to eat? He said, anything that don't eat me first. He said, and bless God, if I could choose my way to die, I'd drown in a bowl of white gravy choking on two big old cat head biscuits. He's a chitlin eater. He's a preacher. One night he said, whoa, I could eat a gut from here to Washington, D.C. and back. Now, I liked his singing. I liked his preaching. But he ate one place and I ate another. I may have to eat some of them chitlins one of these days. But it'll be a chitlin in one hand and a sardine can in the other. Can I get? Because one will outgross the other. And he's laying there in that grave. You say, why'd you tell all of that? Oh, can you imagine? Standing in that cemetery when that shout right there takes place and them men of God go to crawling out of that ground. I got a wild imagination. Will you let me use it? I can see it now. Here comes the trumpet. The dead in Christ. Here comes J. Harold Smith walking out going, neighbor, I'm glad I didn't step over God's three deadlines. About the time Harold Sattler said, David, you and Mephibosheth run that chariot by here and pick me up. I want to see the king, for my flesh has rested in hope. Mm-hmm. Oliver Green kicked the little off that mausoleum and say, I told you it was by the grace of God. And here comes Billy Kelly singing, I'll not be a stranger. I'll meet you in the morning. You say, Brother Joe, you're dreaming. You've lost your mind. Well, you come to hear me, and I'm just here to tell you tonight, some golden daybreak Jesus is coming. I noticed tonight from the little prophet's quarters up to the church, there's a little cemetery right over here. I guess that's the church's cemetery. And probably there's somebody here tonight, somebody you love laying over there. Anybody here tonight, somebody you love laying over there in that little fenced out cemetery? How old are they? Bless God, that's not their final home. I said, that's not their final home. Hallelujah, that's not their final home. Honey, when this shout takes place and Jesus echoes from the glory world, the dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm glad some glad morning the dead shall walk out on resurrection ground. I'm glad that's our hope. There's going to be a resurrection some glad morning. Job, in the midst of his affliction, was confused and bewildered, and he thought he was near death, and he cried, if a man die, shall he live again? Oh, if a man die, shall he live again? And thousands of years later, on the shores of Caesarea Philippi, our Savior answered that question, and he said, oh yes, Job, I'll answer that question. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection and the life. Aren't you glad the hope of our loved ones? Ain't no grave gonna hold their bodies down. They're coming out of there. The resurrection of the sleeping, the return of the Savior. Oh, but number three, look in verse 17. When this shout takes place. Whoop! That ain't in the text. I threw that in. And when this shout takes place, that will be heard around the world. I'll hear and see the return of the Savior, the resurrection of the sleeping. But according to verse 17, I'll see and experience the rapture of the saved. Then we, watch what it says in verse 17, then we, which are alive and remain. You know what that verse tells me? No matter how dark and apostate and wicked it may get or look, there's going to be Bible-thumping, Holy Ghost-filled, blood-washed, Jesus-fan, Jesus-shouting people on this earth when Jesus comes. In fact, if you listen to the news and take everything at heart, they'll have you thinking everybody's a crackpot and a pervert, that this world still got some people in it that love God and believe in Jesus. I'm preaching to a room full of them tonight. I wonder if there's any Jesus lovers in this room tonight. Do you love him? Say hallelujah. Woo! Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up. Thank God for the rapture of the saved. I got a friend of mine. In fact, you'd be amazed at who some of my friends are. But I got a friend of mine, and I love him. He's a good person. I love him. He's a good man. But he doesn't believe in the rapture. And this is what I told him the other day. I said, Bubba, if you're saved, you got to go whether you want to or not. Can you imagine going to heaven under protest? I don't believe it. Oh, bless God, you'll believe it. And when you see Jesus, you'll be glad to go. But I said to him, why don't you believe in the rapture? He said, because the word rapture is not in the Bible. I said, neither is the word Trinity. But I believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Neither is Mother's Day. But you better not forget it. And there ain't one thing in the Bible about celebrating your wife's birthday. But you better. That was quiet. One of you rednecks done slipped up and forgot her birthday, didn't you? Oh, you may not find the word rapture in the Bible, but what are you going to do with that phrase? Caught up! That word caught up is the Greek word harpazo, and it means to be snatched away by sudden force. It's translated pluck in John 10. Neither shall any man be able to snatch the amount. I'm in and it ain't no snatching. I can't snatch me out. My family can't snatch me out. The world can't snatch me out. The enemy can't snatch me out. I can't even snatch myself out. But one day the snatcher's coming and snatch us all out. Why? Because the hand and all is a-leaving. Aren't you glad, brother? We're going to be snatched away by sudden force. You say, well, why do you put in the word rapture? Well, go home. I would say get a dictionary, but don't nobody do that now. So go home and Google. And the word rapture means to be transported from one realm to another with glee and delight. Oh, brother, as y'all sang tonight, I was raptured. Oh, while you sing tonight, I was raptured. I was transported to the glory world with glee and delight. Oh, that's a good word for caught up. Because one of this, hallelujah, I'm about to enjoy my own preaching right there. If I'd have known I had this much fun, I'd have come last week. I called the preacher. I said, I had a cancellation next week. You want me to come Monday? Boy, I'm glad we didn't decide to come Monday. This was ordained for God for the foundation of the world right here. Say amen. Oh, aren't you glad one of these mornings, the church, the blood-bought body of Christ, we're going to be transported with glee. We're going to be transported with delight out of this realm into another realm. We're going to be harpazoed. We're going to be snatched away by a sudden force. Here's what it means. Here today, gone tomorrow. We shall be changed, metamorphosed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Have you ever seen one of them old little ugly looking, bumpy looking cocoons? And all of a sudden that old ugly, bumpy looking cocoon looks like it's got a bad case of the zits. That cocoon goes to wiggling around. And all of a sudden a little antenna sticks out of it. A few minutes a little old leg sticks out. It looks like a big roach. I want to tell you something, son. Y'all got some roaches down here. Y'all could saddle up and ride to Georgia. Ain't but one place got them bigger, and that's Texas. Everything in Texas stings or hurts or bites. All of a sudden, this whole thing rolls out on the ground. What's that ugly-looking thing? Here come them wings. Yellow, blue, and some of those beautiful colors you've ever seen. And the next thing you know, son, it's in the air. It's flying in the wind. That little old cocoon got raptured. It got changed. Whoop! Son, I went up to my daddy 30 seconds before he died. And it wasn't a pretty sight. Woo! Hallelujah. But I'm glad when I see him again, brother, he's not going to be in that disease-stricken body. Hallelujah. This lady told Billy Kelly, she said, I'm confused. He said, about what? She said, how in the world am I going to get my wings over my halo? He said, lady, I know you and your husband. You better worry how you're getting over them horns on the top of your head. Hey, I want to tell you, I can't say it, but I got a little buddy of mine, and I've been knowing for 34 years. We've preached together all over this country. He's my best friend outside of my wife and Jesus. And he's laying out tonight. I got a text a while ago. He's taking his last breath. My friend and his buddy was standing there reading the Word of God to him, trying to comfort him and help him make the crossing. And he was reading Psalm 23. When he got down to that part, I will fear no evil. He hadn't spoken in days. He said, I will fear no evil. My buddy read it to him. I will fear no evil. He said, he rolled in big old eyes and said, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Oh, in a few minutes, his old frail body is going to cocoon for the last time, son. Hey, I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be raptured. We're going to be caught up. We're going to get out of this world. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming, and the saints of God are leaving out of here. I remember back in my high school days, we were having science, and in the science class, we had a little derivative study, and we were talking about the laws of magnetic field. Anybody remember hearing that for the first time, the laws of magnetic field? Well, our teacher did an experiment. Put some straight pins on this side and put some toothpicks on this side. Then the teacher took a big magnet and she held that magnet over top of them straight pins. And you know what happened when that magnet went over top of them straight pins? Every one of them got caught up to meet that magnet. She took that very same magnet, held it over top of them toothpicks, and it was like a Baptist church on Sunday morning. They didn't even wiggle. So the teacher goes on to explain the laws of magnetic field in scientific terms. Well, that's been a long time ago. And I have forgotten all the scientific terms. I didn't understand them then, and I don't understand them now. So welcome to Dr. Joe's class. 101, we're going to study the laws of magnetic field. You ready? Here we go. This is as redneck as I can get it, because that's what I am. There is something another in them there pins that gets hooked up with something another that's in that magnet. And whatever is in them pins ain't in them toothpicks. Well, you say to me, what ain't be said to Andy, your education was worth every dime. Oh, Brother Joe, what has that got to do with us? Someday when Jesus comes, something in him is going to hook up with something in me. And that something is a somebody. That somebody is a someone. And that someone is the Holy Spirit. And we'll be caught up, snatched away. Goodbye, world, goodbye. And we're going home to be with Jesus. Before the pandemic, they pack you in planes like sardines. And I found this out even before the corona. If you want to social dist in a public place, open your Bible. They'll think you got COVID-22. And so I was on a plane. I opened up my Bible. And that was this dignified, refined, educated lady sitting beside of me. And I knew she was refined and educated because she wore her glasses. On the very end of her nose where it pinched them. And she talked like that. And she condescended to everyone. She told me, she said, "Excuse me, young man." And I acted like I didn't hear her because I wanted to hear that young man part again. "Excuse me, young man, is that a Bible?" I said, "What?" She says, "Is it a Bible?" I said, "It's a Bible." She said, "Oh, my God." I said, "Yeah, he's all in there. He's all in there from Genesis to Revelation, and he's a mighty God, too." She said, "I don't believe any of it." I said, "I believe all of it. I don't believe it." I said, "I believe all of it." I said, "I believe enough for me and you both." So I thought I'd break out my education. And I got out my glasses. And I said, "Madam, may I ask you a question?" "What?" "Do you know how to fly a 747? "Why? What's that got to do with it?" I said, "Well, I was talking to that pilot while I go up around the coffee line. He's a born-again Christian. He lives in Peachtree City, just about 20 miles from the airport. He's a born-again Christian." She said, "So what?" I said, "Well, if we get up there about 35,000 feet, going about 500 miles an hour, and the rapture takes place, y'all have fun." Yeah, boy. You know what this is? That's one of them lost Baptists trying to get off the ground when Jesus comes. "Aren't you glad when the Lord comes, we'll be raptured, we'll be gone. The return of the Savior, the resurrection of the sleeping, the rapture of the saved, and then, thank God, the reunion of the saints. We shall be called up together with them in the clouds." Watch this word. "To meet the Lord in the air." Whoo! "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." We prayed together. We have fought together. We've wept together. We've strove together. We've served together. We've worshiped together. We've gathered together. And one day, glory to God, we're going to get together one more time. And man, won't it be wonderful? I love this little song. Won't it be wonderful when all of God's singers, and all of God's children get home. What a day that's going to be. Well, I hate to ruin a good meeting. I felt like we've had a good meeting. I think all three of y'all thought we did too. I think we've had a good... I hate to ruin it, but I want to sing. And me singing here is like taking a Missouri mule and running him in the Kentucky Derby. But I got it in my heart. And if I sing a little bit, promise you won't laugh at me. Because after you laugh at me singing, I want to hear you preach. And some of you women are about to die to do it all week. I preached his funeral July 2019. He was one of my dear friends. His name is Jerry Goff. Jerry Goff was God's man. He was a preacher and a singer and a songwriter. And in 1974, Jerry and the Singing Goffs from Nashville, Tennessee, stormed the gospel music world with this right here. "I can almost hear the trumpet loud and clear. I can almost hear him say, 'My child, you're home to stay. Where we lay our burdens down and take up the robe and crown, My child, you're home to stay, where we ever shall be, throughout all eternity, where we'll praise our Savior's name. I can see him on the shore, he's the Lamb forevermore, where we'll walk on streets of gold, hear the saints and men of old, hear the Father call me son, hear him say, my child, well done. My child, you're home to stay, where we ever shall be, throughout all eternity, well, we'll praise our Savior's name, where we ever shall be, throughout all eternity, where we'll praise our Savior's name. Amen. I'm glad the next thing we're going to hear is the voice of our beloved, and the shepherd boy will become the king, and we'll see him. And what a day that's going to be. I believe, Brother Rusty, the next thing on God's prophetic time clock is that shout, that voice. I'm glad I'm ready tonight. We're going to lay it all down, boys. And it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Brother, can we sing that whole song again? What a day. My daddy, 2008, Mike knew my dad. Brother Mike knew my father. Man of God, old-fashioned, hacking, spitting. I mean, country preacher, full of God. I like it. Amen. My sister called me. She said he's in room 4, the Alamance County Hospital in Burlington, North Carolina. Got there as soon as I could. When I walked in, I knew that was it. That nurse came in there, and he meant well. He's trying to get vitals and all of that. And fella, I said, sir, just leave him alone. He's tired. His eyes had done set. Already had that grin on his face. I said, just leave him alone. Well, I got to go get the doctor's order. I said, well, I don't care who you talk to. Just leave him alone. A few minutes, the doctor came in, a very young man, but very respectful. He said, now listen, I can't tell you whether your dad's going to die today or 10 years. I mean, we don't know, but it's pretty close. And I said, sir, if you'll just back up against that wall and be real quiet, you can watch the general as he leaves for further instruction. My sister was on the other side of the bed singing Daddy's favorite song. That one. What a day that'll be. I'm on this side quoting Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. My little old mama was in that room at the foot of the bed, caught between two worlds. She just bust out and wail and cry. Oh, J.B., honey. Don't leave me. We've been married for 60 years. I can't live without you. And then the grace of God would kick in. And she'd go to shout, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And my mama said this 5 seconds before my daddy went to bed. She said, Lord, I want to thank you for giving me the privilege to be married to an old-fashioned Holy Ghost Baptist preacher like this man. Receive him unto thyself, Lord Jesus. She leaned over and kissed my daddy on the cheek. She said, go on, honey. Take your flight, baby. Jesus is standing on the other side with his arms stretched out for you, honey. And Joe and I and the girls will see you in a little while. And it wasn't long till that last breath blew into my face. And I knew the general had crossed the river. I looked over there and that doctor, tears were rolling down his face. He said, "Oh, I've never seen anything like this." He said, "You people are remarkable." I said, No. I said, he was a remarkable Christian. And he was a remarkable daddy, but we're not remarkable people. I said, "Sir, this is called the grace of God."
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm glad, some glad morning, we're going to join in on that second verse together. And what a day that's going to be. Remember the day you got your driver's license? Wasn't that a good day? Well, for some of you, it wasn't. Remember the day you got married? Remember the day you remember the day your first child was born? Remember the day you got saved? There's been some wonderful days, ain't it?
Yeah.
Hold on, buddy. You're going to cross the river in a minute, brother. I'm talking to my friend. Just excuse me. Hold on, buddy. Help's on the way. Remember, you preached it. Ain't nobody like him. You said he'd take you to the fire. Hold on, buddy.